Right, we'll get started tonight. Hopefully we'll have men's prayer breakfast this Saturday morning at 7. More details about that forthcoming this week. I'd like to begin tonight just reading in a few passages in Revelation in the first few chapters, beginning in verse 1. Chapter 1, verse 8. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Verse 11, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, and what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia. In chapter 4, verse 8, the four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within. And they do not rest day or night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Verse 11, You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they exist and were created. Verse 8 of chapter 5. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for You were slain and have redeemed us to God by Your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. And I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be to Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. And then the four living creatures said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped Him who lives forever and ever. Let's pray together. O Lord our God, what a great privilege it is for us this evening to come to You who is, who was, who is to come. Your name is Yahweh. You are who You are. You are unmoved. You are infinite, eternal, unchangeable. You are the Lord, You say. You do not change. Known unto You are all of Your works from the foundation of the world. And You invite us to come by faith to the mountain, the heavenly Jerusalem that has come down out of heaven, where we have our Savior who is the worthy Lamb mediating for us before You. We praise You, Lord Jesus. We join our voices to those who are singing You at to You at this moment. You are worthy to receive everything that is written here, glory and power and majesty and honor and dominion and riches and strength, for You have redeemed us to God by Your blood. And You have made us a kingdom of priests. We cannot thank You enough, love You enough, serve You enough, know You well enough. Even the Apostle Paul, who knew You as well as anyone who has ever lived, said, I have not apprehended, I have not arrived. I press on to know the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And Lord, we press on as well. Help us to press on this week. And we praise You that as we do, we have confidence that You are ruling this world and everyone and everything in it, that there is no government, no secret group, there is no institution that is outside of your sovereign control. And in fact, putting them all together, they are nothing before you but a drop in a bucket. And we worship and adore you and ask that you would help us to do as the apostle did, and to trust in you, and to know that you are governing our lives. We ask, O Lord, that you would strengthen us, that we would walk in fellowship with you this week. Thank you that you do not give us principles and then say, go do them. But you tell us that I'm your strength, I am your shield, I am your portion, I am your reward, I am the Lord who dwells with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. We bless you. We thank you for loving us so much, Father, to give us such a mediator, your precious Son, such a great high priest, such a heavenly and glorious King. And we ask that you would help us to know you this week, Lord Jesus, to speak of you. Give us an opportunity to share with someone for the reason, for the hope that is within us, and to lead someone to know our Savior. Bless our families this week. Strengthen the Richies as Rachel had her baby this afternoon. And bless those who are well to be able to provide help this week to those who are in need. Please help our congregation. Heal our congregation. Have mercy upon us if we've been haughty, if we have been uncaring, if we have been whatever we have been, if we have provoked you, forgive us. Wash us, make us clean. If we're simply being caught up in these judgments and chastenings, not necessarily unto death, but for your glory, give us patience. Be with those who are in the hospital down the street this afternoon who are dying. Have mercy upon them and draw them to you before their eyes close and they meet you. For it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. And, O Lord, go before us this week. Show us that you are our strength. Show us that the same pillar of fire that went before your people in the wilderness now dwells with us. We dwell with the consuming fire. Forgive us for our unbelief. Forgive us for our worldliness. No wonder we can't see these things sometimes, because we choke out our faith with the cares of this world and sin and the higher realities and the ultimate realities are completely lost on us, and we go through life fearful or scared or silly or worldly, whatever it may be, because we have not met the Lamb. Oh Lord, reveal yourself to us, we pray, and strengthen us tonight, even though we are few in number. Oh Lord, return us soon to strength that we may give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. sing 550 in the blue hymnal. 550, and again, if you would play that through. That's it. 550 in the blue.
Had a bulletin this evening. Our confession of faith is actually found on the reverse. Let us hear first the call to worship. Oh, come and let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Let us enter into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good. For our confession of faith, we've been working through the Westminster Confession of Faith. In our evening worship, we're on chapter 8, paragraph 5 and 6. This is of Christ the Mediator. We will recite this together for our confession this evening. We'll begin with paragraph 5. The Lord Jesus, by His perfect obedience and sacrifice of himself, which he, through the eternal Spirit, once offered up unto God, hath fully satisfied the justice of his Father, and purchased not only reconciliation, but an everlasting inheritance in the kingdom of heaven for all those whom the Father hath given unto him. Although the work of redemption was not actually wrought by Christ till after his incarnation, yet the virtue, efficacy, and benefits thereof were communicated unto the elect in all ages successively from the beginning of the world, in and by those promises, types, and sacrifices wherein he was revealed and signified to be the seed of the woman which should bruise the serpent's head, and the lamb slain from the beginning of the world, being yesterday and today the same and forever. For our scripture reading this evening, if you'll remain standing for another moment, for three passages, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1, and then Luke chapter 2, verse 49, and then Proverbs 3. We'll probably actually go to Proverbs 2nd since it's close by. Ecclesiastes 12, 1. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come, and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Proverbs 3, verses 1 through 12. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. Verse 2 of Proverbs 3. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest His correction. For whom the Lord loves, He corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights. And then one in the New Testament, Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, our Lord's, the one scripture passage we have when he was a young man, in fact, 12 years old, Luke 2:41. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, and when he, that is Jesus, was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now it was so that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, that they being their parents, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously. And he said to them, why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. You may be seated. Let us seek the Lord together. O Lord our God, we do bless you again for the privilege of coming to the heavenly temple. And we thank you for the earthly manifestation of this, that we are being prepared by your Spirit to be your dwelling place. And we praise you for the mighty works that you do, even on a quiet evening like this. I remember what Elijah, when the thunderstorm came, and he said, Lord, is that you? No. The rocks were breaking. Is that you? No. And then there was a still small voice. And you tell us to be still and know that you are God. And to trust you, because as we just sang, your great power guards every hour. Teach us afresh tonight as we look at these passages of Scripture just how much when we are young that we need to remember you and seek your face when we are boys and girls and teenagers and young adults. Help us maybe now that we are older, those who are, that we would remember how tender and how loving you are to the youngest members of your church, so that perhaps we will recover more tenderness, more concern, and more patience. Bless our congregation, O Lord, young and old, with healing. We confess that we are very afflicted at present. Many of our families are, and we ask, O Lord, that you would bring healing. You say, I am the Lord who heals you. And you have brought these sicknesses upon us. And we do ask that you would raise us up, that we might praise your name. O Lord, let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. We praise you that you are the God of grace, who treats us sinners with such kindness. We praise you that you are the God of mercy, that you forgive iniquity, transgression, and sin, that you take no delight in the death of the wicked, but you are willing for all of us to repent and to come to life in Christ. We bless you for that. You are so kind, so loving, so long-suffering, so patient. And we ask, O Lord, that your goodness would lead us to repentance and melt our hearts. O Lord, again, we just praise you for your kindness. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you for your word. Thank you for teaching our hearts that it is indeed your word. And we ask that we would live this week, that we would enjoy new life in Christ as we live by every word that has come out of your mouth. Lord, where our spirits are discouraged by what we see in the world, lift us back up. Teach us to hope in you. For we will enjoy again the light of your countenance and the help of your countenance. For you are our portion, and we are the people of your pasture. Look upon your flock. Come and visit your vine. Smile upon your people. Bless all the churches of our land that fear you. Bless the churches of our presbytery. Bless the ministers that we know and love so dearly here in our state. Boyd and Ken and Zachy and Kevin and Mike, bless Ben Castle tonight and his congregation. Bless Peter Van Dudewaard, who is close by. Lord, bless all those who are laboring in the word and doctrine, that we as your people would honor them and hold them in high esteem for their work's sake, even though we are all just men of clay, very broken. We all have this great treasure in jars of clay. And remind us, O Lord, even tonight, of that day when that clay will give way to resurrection, glorified bodies. We have no idea, we know, Father, the things that you have prepared for those that love you, and the inheritance that we will enjoy, the glory of heaven, the fellowship of the saints, the fellowship of our Savior. Lord Jesus, just to see you once, you who have loved us and given yourself for us, we look forward to that. And Lord, now bless us with your blessing. You said to Thomas, Thomas, blessed are your eyes because you have seen. But then you added, blessed are those who have not seen and yet who have believed. O Lord, bless us, we pray, as we turn to your word and invigorate our hearts. We ask in your name. Amen. So I'd like to bring our little summer series that we've been looking at on hopefully raising our children to follow the Lord Jesus, to bring that to a conclusion this evening by addressing our young people directly. This is always my great privilege, and I feel like it is a very solemn opportunity for me to do this. I know I try to intermingle comments to our young people all the time. I hope you still feel young, so this will apply just as much to you. But the Bible has a lot to say directly and specifically and personally to young people. I'd like to look, just make three very simple points tonight. Just covenant young people, you are involved in God's war. Second, your responsibility and safety in following Jesus. And third, I'd like to give you three or four reasons in conclusion that I hope will inspire you to follow Jesus and to give yourself to Him. First of all, the challenge of following Jesus, because we are in a war. Now, we have seen that God has made covenant promises to you. I'll be a God to you and to your children after you. We've seen that parents must walk by faith in God's promises. Through worship, through instruction, through discipline, through correction, we invite Jesus into our home. We want to exalt Him in our discipline, as we saw last Lord's Day evening. Now, young people, your parents love the Lord Jesus, and nothing will make them happier than to see you walking with the Lamb and following Him. So the question, of course, after hearing all this again, is what will you do with God's gospel and God's promises? What will you do with Jesus Christ? It is a weighty decision, because Satan is attacking, deceiving, distracting. He wants to wound you while you are young, if possible, so that even if you do recover, you're sidelined for many years. And what Satan intends, though, for evil, God is testing you. He's refining you. God tests the righteous, and that includes young people. Will you hear His voice? Will you believe His word? Will you make war upon the evil one by hiding God's word and God's promises in your heart and receive His offers of mercy and love to you through Jesus? Now, you may hear, particularly as you reach college age, that many young people are losing their faith when they get to college, and I think that's a very, very big lie. And I dispute that with all that is in me. Now, it's true that many churched young people, branches, as Jesus described them in John 15, that may have some external connection to Christ, but no living union with Him, it's true that they are attacked and their true nature is exposed as they grow older, and sometimes they're exposed as false branches who have no living connection to Christ. Even if you're a true branch, Isaiah spoke of in Isaiah 61:3, a planting of the Lord. Even if you are a true branch of Jesus, and I hope that's every one of our young people here this evening, if your armor is loose, you're going to be wounded. If your heart is divided so that you're looking at the fleeting pleasures of this world, you're going to remain weak. If your heart is giddy, and you're not settled on Christ, and you're, like James described, the double-minded man, you're going to be unstable in all of your ways. It's going to be easier then for you to fall into sin. It's going to be easier to listen to the lies of the evil one and even to the excuses of your heart. And of course, you're also under attack, and many of our young people are weakened because, as Jesus said in Matthew 24:12, when sin abounds, love grows cold. We have to particularly guard our hearts in an age when there's just blasphemy everywhere. I mean, Lot spoke of what? Of his soul just being vexed every day, living among such an ungodly people. And so then especially when sin is so brazen and blasphemy bold and unholiness so common and even celebrated, we have to guard our hearts and ask Him to fill us with a love for Him so that we can overcome the wicked one and follow Him. And yet, again here, just trying to show you how important this theme is, a lot of young people, particularly when they grow older, spend far more time whispering about their parents' failures and inconsistency, complaining about rules and restrictions. They spend a lot more time doing that than they do quietly weeping before the Lord over their sins and asking Him for strength to love His Word. If you're looking around for somebody to blame for your sins, don't blame your parents. Blame yourself. Look in the mirror. Don't blame your friends. All of us blame ourselves. Otherwise, we're no better than our first parents, who they should have fallen on their face before God and asked for mercy. But what did they do when God said, "Adam, where are you?" It's his fault. It's her fault. It's the snake's fault. Hiding from God. Understand, it's no wonder that when we don't ask for mercy and when we grow up blaming other people and not really giving ourselves for Christ, that God's Word is choked out in our life and we don't have the taste for it that we once did. We don't get much out of the sermons that we hear or our Bible reading because we've choked out God's grace through worldliness like thorn bushes. You know, if you try to go grow flowers and thorns spring up. We were in Florida recently. I was walking around this house and I got just this huge thorn that was just growing in this thorn bush. And I was just reminded, that's what the world does. It's like a huge thorn bush that makes the word very difficult to grow in us. Again, remember something, young people, and I'm not speaking to the world's young, but to the church's young. You've been offered our Savior's true gospel, that He bore our judgment on Calvary, that He loves us so much, that He was willing to leave His throne of glory and fellowship with the Father and be judged in our place. You've been offered this true gospel, and He offers you free and full forgiveness. So if this gospel is fuzzy to you, or you've never given yourself to it, or I'll even go so far as to say, if you're a stranger to the love of Jesus, and you've never felt love for Him in your heart, or never known His love for you, don't be surprised, okay, that you hear 1,000 sermons without ever really knowing God in Christ, without ever having the love of Jesus rule your heart and your mind. And that's the only way that we can overcome the world. As Augustine said, the love of your heart will determine your life. The strongest love will always prevail. And so the challenge to us as we conclude here this evening, and I want us to look at these passages that we have read, who are we following? And of course the adults too. Jesus said in John 10:27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Jesus' sheep do not listen to the world. Now, they can be tempted. We can all be tempted to follow the world and our own sinfulness. And we know from Scripture that for a time, even true sheep can fall into serious sin and even walk as enemies of the Lord. But the true sheep are going to, at some point, hear the shepherd's voice and return to Him. And at the outset of your life, if you're young, this is especially important to hear. Follow Jesus. The alternatives are dreadful and they're deadly. I mean, if the gospel is rejected, there's no guarantee that Jesus will renew His offers of love to you. He's already sent you a huge love letter, and He sends you love letters every week in the sermons that He sends to you. But remember, He can harden a Judas. Judas and Peter both had the same opportunities to hear Christ's voice, to see His power and His glory. And salvation is in the hand of Jesus. Judas rejected, he sinned, he hardened his heart, he hung himself. Peter, Jesus looked at him and melted his heart, but neither one of them deserved salvation, deserved God's grace. Please, Jesus' true sheep, follow him wherever he leads. They weep over their failings. They never reach a place where they stop needing the mercy of Jesus. And young people who are here tonight, I know our numbers are greatly diminished, but you can ask any adult here in this room, and I assure you that tonight every one of them will tell you, I am nothing except by God's grace, and I never reach a place where I do not need to weep over my sins, ask Jesus for strength, and ask him for grace to follow him. That is the essence. So don't blame your parents. Don't blame other people. Don't make excuses. Don't make delays. Don't freeze your heart against Christ by sinning. Follow him. Now, the Lord gives us some encouragements and examples to do this, and we read them this evening. And I just want to make it clear. You know, I know we've all read that preface to the Westminster Confession of Faith, at least the original edition, where Thomas Manton said, it's bad parents and bad masters who make bad children and bad servants. But that's only half true, okay? Because it's also bad children and bad servants that corrupt themselves if they lose out on the opportunity that God puts in front of them. And so much of the Bible is written for you. Consider the passage we read in Ecclesiastes 12. You probably know it by heart, so you don't have to go back there. This is God's encouragement to you. Remember me while you were young. Now, when you hear me above, as I said, you know, stop delaying, stop sinning, turn to Jesus, you may be thinking, oh, that's easy for you to say. You know, yes, again, my affections are divided. I have many fears that I don't measure up to Christ, some of you may be saying. And I know I can't live a holy and a pure life. If you only knew my thoughts. Preachers and parents make it sound very easy, but you have no idea how much I struggle. Well, God does. And all the honest saints know exactly how much you struggle. And God knows how difficult the Christian life is, even for the most seasoned saints, like Daniel and David and Job and Jeremiah. And he certainly knows that it's a challenge for you to follow Christ. And that's why, for example, we have a passage like Ecclesiastes 12. He says, remember me while you're young. Now, in the Bible, whenever you come across the word remember, God is saying, hey, I'm right here. This is who I am. I'm offering myself to you. People around you may be too busy to give you and engage with you as much as you would like or need. Maybe your sins scare you. Maybe even when you're young, you doubt, I could never be forgiven. I'm so bad. Well, God says, remember me. This is his invitation to you to come to him now with all of your weakness and fears. He's saying to us, and every one of us can hear this evening, I think about you. I want you. I want young people. I know how hard it is later in life when the dark days come. Remember me early, so that you can walk with me all of your life. If you're 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 tonight and you hear that we read this verse in Ecclesiastes where God says, remember me, God is saying, I know sometimes parents say things they think I understand and I don't. Sometimes parents are too hard on me and they don't even know it. Remember, the holy God who made everything, he tells you, now again, you have to understand, all the other world religions think children are a waste of time. A complete waste of time. Don't talk to them. Don't engage with them. But here's the true God who says, I want you. I want you to know me. I want you to know the joy of walking with me. I want you to be like Enoch, every one of you. I don't have a caste system in my kingdom. Everybody can have Enoch's testimony who knows me. Remember what Enoch's testimony was? Before God took him, he had this testimony that he pleased God. He walked with God, and they were in close fellowship. And so the Lord says, hey, remember me while you're early, so that while you're young, so that you can walk with me all the days of your life, and so that your future and your dying years, and the Bible's very honest about old age. He calls it there in Ecclesiastes 12, the dark years, the years when you're not going to have the strength that you do now, And a lot of people say, "Well, I'll wait then, and I'll get religion when I can't get fun anymore." But again, we don't hear that often of deathbed conversions. They're very, very rare. They happen, but you can't count on them. Let me encourage you, hear God's invitation, remember me. But not only that, we have Jesus' example that we read in Luke 2. Now, Solomon's words are very hopeful, but they would not have much power. Okay, remember. Except that the Lord Jesus, the wisdom of God, has actually come down from heaven and shown us what it is to remember our Creator when we are young. Now think of this flow. Solomon, who was the wisest man who ever lived in the Old Testament, remember your Creator. But then remember what Jesus said about himself? I'm the wiser than Solomon. So he had to come down from heaven with the spirit of wisdom and revelation and counsel. And he said, now let me show you what that looks like in practice as a 12-year-old boy. Now, I don't know if we have any exact 12-year-olds tonight. We probably do. We certainly have some older. We certainly have some younger. But do you remember when Jesus went to the temple when he was 12? His parents thought he was lost, and they were looking for him for 3 days. Jesus was sitting quietly in the temple, asking the teachers questions and listening to them. He was talking about his Father's word. And when his parents rebuked him, he, I think, and I'm maybe hypothesizing a little bit, I think he probably gave them a strange look that only he can give, that was a combination of surprise, calming correction, maybe even, but also intense purpose. And do you remember what he said? Don't you know that I must be about my Father's business? Where else would you find me? And he did this not because he needed to. Understand, young people, he was always about his Father's business. Remember what he said in John 5? My Father has worked and I work. I've always been doing my Father's business. But he did this to show us while we are young, this is the way to remember our Creator. Seek the strength of Jesus and be about your Father's business. What is your Father's business when you are young? Honoring your parents, listening to them, asking questions, engaging with what you're hearing, engaging with your own heart, not being, you know, like a zombie. Well, I don't really want to deal with the affairs of my heart. That's like for, you know, 100-year-old pietist. I just want to have fun, and I want everything light. And no, here is our Savior, the wisdom of God, who has come down, and we have this one episode of when he's a youth. And what is he concerned with? Devoting himself to serving his Father, learning about his Father's word, catechisms, Bible reading. He loved these things. It was his heart. And he is saying, this is how you remember your Creator. Be like Jesus. Now seek him. Seek his strength. He didn't say you can do this in your own strength, as we'll see in just a moment. He says, listen, don't think first about yourself, think about your Father. Don't consult your own feelings. Do I like this or do I not like this? Do you know that when God was telling you how to be a happy person, he did not consult your feelings? Now, I know that flies against everything that we, no. If I'm going to be happy, nobody knows what will make me happy as much as me. And so I'm supposed to consult my feelings, but here's our Heavenly Father who has said, listen, I know what makes you happy. I make you happy because I have made you for myself, and my word is your life. And here we have Solomon. Remember, here's Jesus. Let me show you what this looks like. Engaging in the word, asking questions. Parents also encouraging and engaging your children as well. Because as you pursue your Father's business, he will encourage you on this path, keep you safe, forgive your sins, and give you strength in every step. But one last point. Turn to Matthew 19. Even with this example, it's not enough. It's still not, God has still done more. He's done more than telling you by way of encouragement. He's done more than say, remember me. He's even done more than giving you an example. He's done something else. Matthew 19:13, he says this later. Then the little children were brought to him that he might put his hands on them and pray. But the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." And he laid his hands on them and departed. You might say, well, Jesus' example is great. I mean, yeah, I see what you're saying. It'd be great for me to do God's business. I want to be like Samuel, 4 years old. Hear, Lord, speak, for your servant hears. But that's exactly my problem. Some of you may say, some of us as adults may say, I find my heart so cold to the Lord. And here is where these words in Matthew 19, I think, come in and are so encouraging to give your life to Jesus. So here's the disciples, and they're shooing away. Again, Jesus is like the other world leaders. He's too busy for children. Jesus rebukes the disciples, and he says, "Let them come to me, for the kingdom of heaven is of them, pertains to them, belongs to them." Now, did you hear that? The kingdom. What is God's kingdom? God's kingdom is his power. God's kingdom is his ruling power, especially his saving power, to work in us what we can't work in ourselves. So in effect here, the Lord is saying here, even for these little ones, babies and toddlers, of course, yeah, you don't have the strength to be about your Father's business. You don't have the strength to remember your Creator. I'm telling you what you need to do. Follow Solomon. Follow the greater than Solomon. But let me give you one more step, young people, because I love you so much. I'll pick you up and carry you. I'll give you my power. Mine is the kingdom. Mine is the glory. So you see, when you look at what's going on in the world and all the young casualties that are out there, I'm saying, okay, yep, those are there. But were we remembering our Creator while we were young? Were we following Jesus' example when he was a boy? I need to be about God's business, thinking about the Lord and how I can please him. And then with this promise, because good principles can turn to pride if we're not really, really convinced of this. Wait a minute, it's only by the power of God that I can do this. It's not like, well, we're a Christian family, we have these principles, this is what we do, they have an intrinsic power. No, they don't. God is what makes his word effectual in our lives, and he comes to us through Jesus, and he makes these principles and truths in this new life effectual in us by giving us his kingdom. So he says to you, and I just want to just parse this a little bit for our young adults and even Henry and Finn here in the front. He says, hey, listen, it's my power. It's my grace. I love you. I will help you. Come to me. Believe my promises. Sometimes the adults, by their bad examples, we're kind of like disciples. We're like shooing them away from Jesus, not intentionally, but because we make Jesus so unattractive. But young people, hear this. Here's the heart of God. Remember me. I want to be with you all your days. Here's the example of Jesus. Be about your Father's business, but almost higher or deeper, depending upon your perspective. Here is the power, the kingdom of God. And he says, I give this to you because I love you so much. And I really do intend to fulfill my promise to you that I will be your God, young people, and you will be mine. And I think hearing this and putting these together, Ecclesiastes, Luke 2, Matthew 19, we need to find a quiet place tonight, this week, thank the Lord, bow to him, and ask for his help, and take him at his word, and follow Jesus. Now, let me give you, in conclusion, 3 or 4, I hope, inspiring reasons to follow Jesus. The first one is the Bible itself. Is the Bible itself. Now, I know when you pick up a Bible and it's big and heavy and you could probably knock somebody out with it if you became an expert user of it. It's a big book. But remember something about the Bible. There are huge portions of Scripture where God just says, hey, I'm talking to young people right now. You know, you've got Proverbs, certainly, especially the first half of Proverbs up to about chapter 20, that it's clearly, this is written to young people. All the examples in Scripture, some of our favorite stories are what God did and recorded for us through young people. And these considerations need to be taken really seriously, that so much of the Bible is written directly to you. Now, as I've already said, other world religions are completely indifferent. You can read through the Quran, you won't find any reference to children at all. You can read through the Bhagavad Gita, no references to children. The Book of Mormon, very few references to children. It's just miscellaneous references when they're there. But here we have true religion. God saying, I love children. I want the children of my people to know me, to be blessed by me, to have fellowship with me all their days. Now you have to understand, the alternative again is dreadful. Secularism that we live with in our society institutionalizes child abuse. The child abusers are not the homeschoolers and the loving discipline givers of the child abusers are those who teach children that we descended from monkeys and apes. The child abusers are those who lie about our history and say that this whole country was dedicated to the perpetuation of slavery and the Marxists. Those are the child abusers. Or those who give children access to information about lifestyles and activities that their souls are incapable. This, young people, I'll be honest with you, particularly when you're older, this is how much the devil hates children. The devil is the ultimate in all of his henchmen, and all who were led captive by him to do his will, they are haters of children. Corrupt them early, corrupt them deeply, harm them early, and set their soul on edge against God from the beginning. And here's the true God who says, here's my Bible. For my own, just as a word of personal testimony, I won't spend long with this, but I'll never forget the ministers I had growing up who just challenged me, and I would challenge you in a loving way to say, hey, you read the Bible, young people, because the Bible is written to young people. Now, there's a lot of difficult doctrines in there, admittedly, but, you know, 1 John, Ephesians 6, Proverbs, we've already mentioned, the young examples of Scripture, God is saying, I want you for me, and I love you. And second, closely related, think of all the young people, then the stories that we love in the Bible that involve, you know, very, very young, all the way from Solomon to Daniel and David, who were probably, you know, 12, 15, 16, when some of the famous things that they were involved with took place. Mary, the mother of our Lord, she probably was 15, 16, 17 when this occurred. Women tended to marry earlier in that particular culture, and she was already engaged when Gabriel came to her. Why all these examples of young people? You know, it's interesting that we still remember the names of quite a long list of young people whom the Lord used. But you know, we can't remember the name of any wicked young person, hardly, of a couple generations ago, and certainly not in these ancient biblical times. God says, the memory of the just will be blessed, but the name of the wicked will rot. And every unbelieving young person who is known now and loved by the world for their wild lifestyles and bold rebellion will never be remembered. Their names and their deeds will perish in hell forever. But Mary, David, Daniel, Joseph, Blandina, and so many who have served the Lord in their youth will be remembered and celebrated for all eternity. Why did God do this? Why does God give us these examples? To show us that even when we're young and at our weakest, I'm your God. I don't need strong people to accomplish my purposes. I don't save by many. If I want to, I can bring down the whole house of Eli through a 4-year-old or an 8-year-old. I can bring down a giant through a young 15, 16, 17-year-old boy who believes in me. I wonder, my greatest fear about this age in which we live and about my own life has nothing to do with COVID or vaccines or you know, the Davos group or other fools who are out there, you know, that we hear about all the time. My greatest fear is that God's people, including the young people, will not take Christ seriously, that I won't take Him seriously and His power seriously and what He is willing to do for those who believe in Him and walk in fellowship with Him, because it's not our strength, it's His strength. So don't settle for mediocrity. Again, anybody can be a nobody forever, but those who believe God's Word and walk in obedience to Him and follow Him and take Samuel's posture, speak, Lord, Your servant hears. Say that every morning. I challenge everybody here tonight, including me. Speak, Lord, Your servant hears, including and then going to the Scriptures. Follow Jesus, young people, my dear young brothers and sisters, and you will enter the illustrious company of those who shut their eyes and close their hearts to the fleeting pleasures of sin and followed Jesus. Now, in conclusion tonight, Proverbs 3, for just a moment, go back there with me. I just want to, let's just remind ourselves of the promises here that God makes to young people who remember Him and love Him. Take these very, very seriously. Just look at them. There's like a whole litany here. He says, my son, could be my daughter, keep my word. Why? Verse 2. Length of days and long life. Peace. He says, verse 3, don't let mercy and truth, sometimes those are synonymous with God's covenant. Mercy here, chesed, His steadfast love, truth, His word. Stay tight with them. So tight like they're a necklace around your neck, and write them on your heart. What's the blessing of that? Why do I need to do that? Verse 4, favor, high esteem. You know who God looks at? God doesn't look at the people who have glitzy lifestyles and are self-promoters and influencers on Facebook. The name of the wicked will rot. God looks at those who walk in obedience to Him and take His word seriously. Verse 5 and 6, trust in the Lord. Why? Do not lean on your own understanding. Why? Acknowledge Him in all your ways. Why? He'll direct your paths. Now, some of us, we get 18, 20, 25. What am I supposed to do? I don't know. I'm just doing. But here, notice that promise. God says, hey, and remember, my son, verse 1, and he's following this on down here. Trust in the Lord. He's still talking to young people. Commit your ways to Him. Acknowledge Him. You're my Lord. And He says, I will direct your paths. You yield to me, I'll be your shepherd. All I can say to that is prove Him on it. He is faithful. He says, verse 7, don't be wise in your own eyes. He's talking to his son. Don't think you know everything. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. Why? You'll be healthy. Wait a minute. Health is tied to, yep, absolutely. Health is tied at some level to our moral state. Because health is not so much the pills you take and the doctors you go to. A huge component of it is my heart humbled before the Lord. Because health is a blessing from Him. Verse 9, He says, make sure you tithe and recognize that the Lord is the one who gives you your possessions. Why? Verse 10, He'll provide for you all of your life. And yes, there is discipline. There is discipline. Verse 11, we don't like it when our fathers discipline, and it's hard when the Lord disciplines us. But He says, don't despise it. Why? Because if I correct you, it means I delight in you. The young people I get scared for eternally are those who seem to prosper in their wickedness. But those who the Lord every now and then gives a little swat and a little bit of trouble, and they stumble, and you know, it's like, what's going on? God is saying, hey, I'm chastening you. I love you. Remember these promises. There's nothing like this. God says, you remember me, young people, when you're young, and I will bless you. Now remember where these promises come from. Jesus, all the promises are yes to Him, and He will give these promises to you in His own time and way as you walk with Him. Now in all of this, the example of Jesus, the invitation to remember, the here's the kingdom, the fact that the Bible's written to you, you have so many examples of young people in Scripture, you've got the promises that God makes to young people. You know what God's doing to you? He's reaching down His hand to you. And the Lord Jesus particularly is calling you to say, hey, where are you? Will you follow me? I mean, he's doing that to all of us here this evening, but particularly to young people. Come to me. And I pray that you will answer his call. We can talk a lot about parenting. And it's needed, and those of us who are in it, it's a big part of our lives. But we need to have books on childing. Okay, I know it's not a word. How do children need to respond to this grace? Remember your Creator, be about your Father's business, and here's God's kingdom. He promises you the strength to do this. And when our hearts are like, well, that does look pretty good over there. I think I'd like to sow some wild oats for a while. Wait a minute. God loves me so much. He wrote a lot of the Bible directly to me. He's given me examples of young people who stood alone and were faithful to me, and look how he used them. He'll do the same. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's given me these promises. I mean, why do you think, just as a practical, why do you think our nation's bankrupt? You do know the United States of America is bankrupt. We have no money. Everything we spend, now here's zero, break even, whoop, is just digging the hole deeper and deeper. We are a nation of robbers. Young people are not taught, I need to tithe. Now, God's people are still prospering in many places in this land, particularly in the South. But again here, this is just one example of many we could pluck right out of Proverbs 3. We are a nation of robbers. We do not honor the Lord with the first fruits of our increase. And God says, I'm going to take it away from you. But here, young people, he says, here are the blessings of the covenant. They are yes in Jesus. All the promises of God are yes in him. So the cash value of all the instruction that you're getting and the rules and why does my daddy spank me and my mama sometimes and they talk so big and I don't understand it and all my friends just get to go do whatever they want to do and I can't go here and talk like this, because you have parents in your life through whom God is saying, I love you. I want you for myself. That's why I've written you my scriptures. That's why I've given you examples. That's why I gave you my son on the cross, because I love you. And there is no greater joy than for you as a young person to join the ranks of Daniel and David and little Blandina, one of the first martyrs in the first century, who was torn to shreds for her faith as a teenage girl and would not renounce Christ. All of this glorious company of those who said, you know what? The world's out there, but I have eyes only for Jesus. And I pray that for each one of you young people, boys and girls, men and women, that you will have eyes and a heart for the one who loved you and gave himself for you. That's what I pray for you daily, and your parents do as well. Let's pray together. Oh Lord, we do thank you, and we ask that you would help us to heed this call, everything in Scripture so powerfully coming back to us to follow you, to give ourselves to you. Even the way the Bible's written and the examples and the promises of Scripture, we thank you for these things, and we ask that you would drive them deeply, not only into the young people's hearts. It's easy to walk away saying, yeah, I sure hope the young people listen to that, instead of saying, what about me? Did I listen to that? Is it too late for me, Lord? All the times that maybe I didn't listen to you as an adult, and I did trust my own wisdom. Is it too late for me? Lord, is it too late for me to enjoy some of these blessings, even though maybe I came to you late in life after sowing a lot of wild oats? Is it too late for me? Lord, your answer we know is no, it's not. And that you will receive us and forgive us and bless us. We pray that you would give us the joy in this congregation. Right now our hearts are heavy with a lot of sickness, but that you would give us the joy of seeing one generation pass off that baton of faith to the next. That the blessings of godly parenting, not perfect, but an effort being made to shepherd in the ways of Jesus, that all of our young people would embrace Christ and devote themselves to him, not follow the world, not consult their own feelings, not follow their friends, but follow the Lamb wherever he leads. Oh, Lord our God, we fall into your hand, for with you there is abundant mercy. Do for our young people what they cannot do for themselves, what we cannot do for them, what we can't do for ourselves. We are completely dependent, Lord Jesus, upon your grace for life and salvation. So work in our midst. We ask in your name. Amen. Teach me, O Lord, your way of truth, and from it I will